God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
Pro-life athlete Tim Tebow has released a new video urging Christians to stand up for biblical values in America. This is Pastor Larry at Southwest Radio Church. In his new video, Tebow urges believers to keep their faith intact during these difficult times and to remember that many people mentioned in the Bible struggled but persevered with God's help. "This could be your time," said Tebow. "That breakthrough could be tomorrow or it could be next year. But you have the opportunity to turn however you're being tested into a testimony." Tebow concluded his video message by saying, "Right where you're at, whatever you're doing, whatever you're going through, He loves you. You were enough for a son to die on the cross. That's how much you're loved. Hold on to that during your time of need." Close quotes. With America going through difficult times with the coronavirus and the riots in the streets, it's good to know that there are Americans, whether pro athletes or housewives, who put a premium on biblical values. It's important that we value the right things. Jesus said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The Bible doesn't only teach us about life in the sweet by and by, but about living in the nasty here and now. Once again, as we promised in our previous program, we would have our dear friend Avi Lipkin from Israel talking to us about Israel, about America, about all of the dynamics in the world at the present time. We've been visiting about anti-Semitism. And by the way, friends, all of these programs are archived. Just go to swrc.com and you can listen and hear what we covered in our previous program. Avi, thank you so much for being with us once again.
Always terrific. After 25 years.
Yes, it's just wonderful. Well, you were actually born in New York. You went to New York University. You know a lot about the potheads in colleges and in teachers' colleges. What's happening to our youth? Do you think the potheads who are teaching in public school and college are doing us great damage and that young people are listening to these professors?
Do you remember when Nikita Khrushchev, leader of Russia, was at the United Nations? And he was pounding on the table with his shoe and making a real fool of himself. But he said something very brilliant. He said, "You Americans, just wait and see. We will take over, not through communism. We will take over through socialism, little by little, little by little. And then one day, you Americans are going to wake up and your country is going to be a communist country." In other words, all of this was planned ahead of time by the communists. What we see happening is that these people who demonstrated against the Vietnam War, flying the Vietnam flag, taking drugs, and I was saying to myself all along that this country, if it keeps going in that direction, America is doomed. And it was actually one of the minor reasons that I moved to Israel in 1968. We are talking about 60 years since the 1960s. 60 years basically represents three generations in which our young people were poisoned in the universities by these communist and socialist and atheist professors. And now they are the deans and retired professors, but they have total control. I'll add another thing also. The boards of education in elementary schools in America, middle schools, high schools, the boards of education have been taken over by Islamists and with money, Islamic money, socialist money. And the idea is the long-term investment into the destruction of the United States of America through socialist and Islamic ideology. Actually, socialist and Islamic ideology are antithetical to each other, but the bottom line is the hatred of Christianity and Judaism, which are really one unit, as I always say. So I think one of the things I wanted to stress in this show, I don't want to turn it into a commercial for my seven books, but my seven books are not only the story of my life, but the history over the last 70 years as America is going south, America is heading downhill because of this left-wing socialist, I don't want to say liberal, because liberal is a good thing, but liberal with a capital L is Soviet socialist totalitarianism. And we have to teach our young people, Jewish and Christian, the real history of what happened in World War II and what happened in the Civil War in America, and things that, you know, Americans today are totally ignorant of. Americans don't know today who George Washington is. They don't know who Jefferson is, except that they were slave owners. Nothing about the tremendous, great fight against the British imperialism against us, against, because I say that as an American, against the American colonists in the late 1700s. Americans are totally ignorant. And, you know, they say if you don't have a past, you don't have a future.
Yeah, if you have amnesia, you know, like if you have dementia or something like that, you actually lose your character. You lose your identity. And I think that's what's happening to America. So many of our young people who are growing up now and who are going to vote, by the way, and we know how they're going to vote if they're not careful, they have cultural amnesia. Their minds, their worldview has been corrupted and destroyed. Well, you've got 7 books. Maybe just run through them. And, of course, I know they are a tremendous primer to get people ready to understand what's happening in the world and to know more about America and who we are, and also about Israel. So tell us a little bit about your 7 books.
Okay, well, my bestseller actually is my very first book, which came out 4 years before 9/11, and in which I predicted 9/11. It also talks about the Oklahoma City bombing in 1995, that this was Saddam Hussein state terrorism. How was Clinton affected by this? All the files in the Whitewater case against him were destroyed, so the whole case was dropped for lack of evidence. So Clinton in some way was involved, but Terry Nichols and Timothy McVeigh were frontmen for Saddam Hussein. This is in my first book, Is Fanatic Islam a Global Threat? And it also explains how America is being taken over by Islam, by plan. My wife monitors the broadcast of all these Islamic conferences where they say very openly what they're going to do to take over the world in their way. Second book is called Christian Revival for Israel Survival, which describes very accurately how the Muslims are bribing the universities and therefore bringing in hundreds of thousands of students every year into the United States. And then these people marry American women, get citizenship, bear Muslim children, then bring in chain immigration. That's Christian Revival for Israel Survival. The third book gives more information on Islamic terrorism and the Oklahoma City attack and plans by Islam after 9/11. My fourth book is about the Judeo-Christian Bible Bloc Party, which I founded and I'm leading, and I've already contended in 3 elections in Israel. My fifth book is a very important book for church people or anyone who loves the Bible. It's called Islam Prophesied in Genesis. And I explain why Allah is not the God of the Jews and the Christians, but he is Satan, the moon god, the war god, the sword god. And then the sixth book is called Return to Mecca, which is primarily about the book of Exodus, but also talks about Mount Sinai, the real Mount Sinai, which is in northwest Saudi Arabia, and how we are going to come to take it, because God does not want that mountain in the hands of Islam. And Mohammed bin Salman, who is the heir apparent in Saudi, wants to create like a Disney park there. The Saudis all know that that's where it is, by the way. And then the seventh book is about why the Shiites and the Sunnis are fighting in Syria and in the Middle East. So all of these books are history books. They teach the Bible. They teach history. I try to, like, synthesize the Bible and history.
Right. Now, you know, speaking about Islam prophesied in Genesis and also return to Mecca, I believe it's Deuteronomy 11, doesn't it say that, you know, where your foot has trod, I'm going to give you that land? And so if they've been in the Saudi Peninsula, that's God's promise, and God's promise stands strong, will never be taken away. That really expands our whole concept of what Israel will have, what territory it will have in the millennial kingdom when the world is covered with righteousness. Am I understanding that correctly?
100% correct. And also, by the way, I wanted to add, I don't know if we ever discussed you distributing my son's DVDs, but my son has 4 DVDs. One of them is called The Footprints of God, in which the Israelites, when they conquered the land, they built these football field-sized, you know, footprints, and they made sacrifices there. And I say it's kind of reminiscent of what has been going on around the Black Stone in Arabia, in Mecca. That's one of the reasons why I say return to Mecca, because I believe Moses was there, and Jethro was the high priest of Midian. Midian is a city today in Arabia, Medina, but that Black Stone has been there from time immemorial. And it is a pagan place of worship, but 4,000 years ago, during the time of Moses, or 3,500 years ago, we were really pagans. I mean, there was no Judaism, there was no Christianity, there was no Islam. And so what we had was paganisms. And little by little, God, at Mount Sinai, God weaned us away from the paganisms and gave us the law. which, by the way, Jesus teaches that law, believed in that law, and observed that law. And I think, you know, I'm one of those guys who loves Christians, especially if they keep as much of the laws as possible. Not like the Jews have to keep, but, you know, you know, love the Lord thy God, that's the law. Love thy fellow as thyself, that's the law. Thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill. You know, the Ten Commandments, you guys are under the law too.
Amen. Yeah, we do.
You know who's not under the law? The Muslims. They do everything they want to do.
Well, you know, you are a good resource person for answering a question that so many people have, especially young Christians. I minister to Chinese Christians, and it's a big question that they ask. Tell us a little bit about the source of, seems like an interminable conflict between Jews and Arabs, or Jews and Muslims. Why the conflict? Why the hostility that just seems to never want to go away? What's going on here?
Well, listen, I say very simply that this is a war between God and Satan. The God of the Jews and the Christians is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It says so seven times in the New Testament. The God Allah is the moon god, the war god, and the sword god of ancient Mecca and Medina, a pagan god, strictly forbidden by the book of Deuteronomy 17, which says anyone who prostrates to the moon, the sun, and the stars and worships them and serves them should be taken to the gates of the city and stoned. In other words, Islam really is a capital offense. And nobody talks about that, and Muslims are allowed to come in. In the Quran, it says, do not take the Jews or the Christians for your friends. The Jews and the Christians are friends with one another, and whoever befriends them will become one of their number. So, you know, if these people are commanded not to be your friends, what are they? They are your enemies. And America is bringing the enemies like a Trojan horse right into its midst. And unfortunately, sadly, the Jews and the Christians are totally asleep.
Well, I think one of the few presidents that has realized the many threats that we face. For example, President Trump, I think, is the only one who recently realizes and knows the danger from communist China. You know, under the Clintons and the Democrats, they thought, well, you know, we'll give them money, we'll do business with them, they'll become capitalists, they'll throw away Mao Zedong's little red book. None of that is true. And I think our president really is one of the few who actually very vocally, very concisely, out of love and respect for America, is aware of the tremendous danger that we face from radical Islam.
Yes. By the way, about China, I wanted to add one thing that nobody is saying. I believe that China today, the People's Republic of China, Communist Party of China, are very, very much where the Japanese were in the 1920s and 1930s. And very aggressive territorially and militarily. And I don't see any chance for China to moderate itself, which means we are headed towards a war with China eventually.
Yes, and I'm so thankful that we have two aircraft carriers now in the South China Sea, the Ronald Reagan and the Nimitz, because, you know, China lays claim illegally to the Paracel Islands and a couple of other rocks out there in the middle of the ocean, and he's not willing to be pushed around. And my, you know, China's a bully, and the worst thing you can do to a bully is to allow him to get a little bit more. Pretty soon, he's like cancer. He'll destroy the whole organism. So I think we need a strong leader. And I'm so thankful that we have a president and a vice president, actually, who loves Israel and understands the Bible and the principle that's taught in the Bible about Jerusalem and about Israel.
That's why I have been working so hard, firstly in 2016 for the election of President Trump, because Hillary would have been a disaster for Israel as well, and now his reelection. So this is a very critical 3 months that I'm here in America now.
Well, what does the average Israeli on the street think about President Trump, I wonder?
Oh, the average Israeli is very pro-Trump, the average Israeli. In fact, in 2016, he got 100,000 American-Israeli votes, absentee ballots. I was one of them. And theoretically, I shouldn't be voting because I'm running for office in Israel. But till I get into the Knesset, I think I can get away with it. I'm going to vote for Trump again and get other people to vote for him, too. And we have to make sure that Biden and the crazy Democrats don't get in.
Well, they're so dangerous. They really are dangerous. And, you know, we live in a politically correct world. And a politically correct world doesn't like somebody who brings moral clarity. Now, President Trump calls a snake a snake. He doesn't kind of dance around any of that. And I think So many Americans today are in a state of denial. We don't realize how bad the situation is now. However, because of the craziness of the Democratic Party, I think a lot of people are saying, hey, what's going on? So hopefully we will come around and come to our senses, and more people will be on the right side. And we certainly want to be a friend of Israel, because we know what Genesis 12, 1, 2, and 3 says. We don't want to be their enemy. We love the Jewish people. We love the Lord. We know his position on that.
I take the converse viewpoint. I have formed a Judeo-Christian political party because if you guys love us and we don't love you back, then we are in sin. And so I've created a Judeo-Christian political party in Israel, which is still in its infancy. But I'm hoping that, you know, we have 10% of our population is Christian. So I'm hoping at some stage that I will get elected to our parliament.
Wow, that's going to be wonderful. Friends, you'll want to pray for Avi Lipkin for his getting elected with the Bible Bloc Party. Well, Avi, thank you so much. Always a blessing. The Lord be with you in all of your travels. I know you go all over the place.
Yes, and also remind the people that I've written 7 books, and they are history books, which will strengthen a Christian's faith, because it tells the real history of America and why America and Israel are tied together under the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Very good. Well, Matthew's going to come to the mic right now and tell our listeners about our special offer.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. We have a huge offer for our listeners today. We have all 7 of Avi Lipkin's books. Some of these books are $20, and some of them are $15. For the sake of time, I will say the title of the book and the gift amount, starting with Islamic Rivalry, just $20, Return to Mecca, $20, Islam Prophesied in Genesis, $20, Israel's Bible Block, $15, Islamic Threat Update, $15, Christian Revival for Israel's Survival, $15, Is Fanatic Islam a Global Threat, $15. Our very special offer is to get all 7 books for a gift of $80, if you live in the United States, and $110 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our toll-free number 1-800-652-1144. You can also order by writing to us. The address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And this offer will be featured on our website at swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
According to a report on FoxBusiness.com, the FBI is warning U.S. companies of Chinese software embedded with hidden malware. The software imposes a major security risk on victim companies, requiring them to use one of only 2 approved programs to pay their taxes, both of which have been found embedded with vulnerabilities.
The cybersecurity firm TrustWave announced that they had uncovered the new type of malware, which they called Golden Spy, hidden in tax payment software required by a state-owned Chinese bank for use by corporations that do business in China. The firm was working on behalf of an unidentified company with ties to the U.S., Australia, and the U.K. that had only recently set up offices in China. Quote, "We identified an executable file displaying the highly unusual behavior and sending system information to a suspicious Chinese domain," the firm said on June the 25th. Discussions with their client revealed that this was part of their bank's required tax software. The company had been required to use the software in order to pay local taxes. TrustWave said it was uncertain whether the malware was embedded in all of the tax software or if it was deployed against specific targets.
China's long history of espionage against the United States is well known. In January 2010, Google reported a highly sophisticated and targeted attack on our corporate infrastructure originating from China that resulted in the theft of intellectual property from Google. According to investigators, the Google cyber attack targeted the Gmail accounts of Chinese human rights activists. At least 34 other companies have been attacked, including Yahoo, Symantec, Adobe, Northrop Grumman, and Dow Chemical. A 1999 United States House of Representatives Select Committee on U.S. national security and military and commercial concerns with the People's Republic of China report, known as the Cox Report, warned that China has stolen classified information on every thermonuclear warhead in America's intercontinental ballistic missile arsenal. China's intelligence gathering efforts are directed towards the development of modern nuclear weapons and are focused on the Los Alamos, Lawrence Livermore, Sandia, and Oak Ridge National Laboratories. China is known to have stolen classified information on the W-56 Minuteman II ICBM, the W-62 Minuteman III ICBM, the W-76 Trident C-4 submarine launch ballistic missile, and many others. When President Trump debates Joe Biden, one of the questions must be, what do you plan to do about Chinese espionage? So far, Mr. Biden seems to know little, if anything, about Chinese espionage. Is that a fish that swims in the South China Sea?
There are many things about the run-up to the November presidential election that defy the imagination, but this one comes to the top of the list. On July 21st, Joe Biden was speaking to a summit of the Million Muslim Votes, the country's largest Muslim American political action committee, and he said, quote, "I wish we taught more in our schools about the Islamic faith. I wish we talked about all the great confessional faiths. This is one of the great confessional faiths." End of quote. The group had previously endorsed Bernie Sanders, but now endorsing Biden since April. When one considers the constant uproar about the separation of church and state, it's an interesting position for Biden to take. If he were asked about teaching the Bible in schools, I wonder what his answer would be. Well, back to the article. Aside from longing for Islam to be taught in schools, the presumptive Democrat nominee solidified his support for a two-state solution in the Middle East. "I'll continue to champion the rights of Palestinians and Israelis to have a state of their own, as I have for decades," he told viewers. "Each of them, a state of their own." End quote. He vowed to end any ban on travel from nations harboring terrorists on his first day in office and blamed President Trump for an unconscionable rise in Islamophobia. It was not that long ago that Representative Ilhan Omar pointed her finger at Joe, saying he was not able to implement radical change in America. What a difference less than a year has made. Now, Joe wants Islam to be taught in our schools. According to the Washington Examiner, the Million Muslim Votes event was hosted with the aim of turning out a record number of Muslim voters for Biden in the fall. A letter signed by several Muslim American officials, including Omar, supporting Biden, was organized by the group. Quoting, "Our number one goal is to remove Donald Trump from office and to replace him with someone who can begin to heal our nation," the letter reads. "A Biden administration will move the nation forward on many of the issues we care about." End of the article. It will always be an amazement to see people escape to America from places that Islam has made unlivable, where conditions are especially appalling for women, and then they want to make the United States like their old nation. The stakes in the next election are incredibly high. The lines between the candidates could not be sharper. Mr. Biden's vice presidential running mate choice will be very telling. No matter how the election goes, it will surely be a turning point for the United States and the world. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us, "The Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." If God doesn't continue to show us that mercy, we could see judgment fall that would make the end of Sodom and Gomorrah look like a 4th of July barbecue.
No civilization has been perfect. The people and leaders who make up that civilization are all, according to the Bible, fallen sinners. However, Western civilization and the Christian faith, which is an important aspect of Western civilization, have made many notable contributions to Western civilization. Yet today, there is a war on Western civilization. Every week seems to bring new examples of this never-ending war.
The so-called woke culture has classical music in its crosshairs. In a recent article in the Citizens Free Press, titled "Woke Mob Comes from Mozart," we read that there is an all-out assault on classical music, hoisting race theory onto composers who have been dead for centuries. We are now hearing that operas should be re-examined for racism.
These concerted attacks seem to be aimed at unraveling the very fabric of Western civilization. There are different strands that make up Western civilization. Certainly, ancient Greece and Rome played a major part, but the single most important element in Western civilization is the Judeo-Christian tradition. Perhaps this explains, at least in part, why right now, during this time of the coronavirus and riots, there are various attacks against churches and statues of Jesus and Mary.
Recently in Virginia, a young man barged into a church and stabbed the pastor who was leading a Bible study. Thankfully, a policeman attending the study prevented the stabbing from being fatal. But this didn't seem to make the news, as other anti-Christian stories did.
Breitbart.com for July the 16th, 2020, reports on the rash of recent attacks against churches. In Chattanooga, Tennessee, a statue of Mary was beheaded. Mary statues were also damaged in New York City and Boston. In Ocala, Florida, a young man tried to burn down a church. Three statues of the missionary who virtually founded California, Father Junipero Serra, have been toppled.
The war against Western civilization can also be seen in the war against Christopher Columbus. Although Columbus never set foot on what is now the United States of America, he bridged the gap from Europe to the New World, thus opening it up to the rest of the world. In the recent spate against sculptures, the statue of Columbus is the number one target. There have been at least 10 statues of Columbus being destroyed or desecrated.
Thank you, gentlemen. If you missed any of this program, or if you'd like to hear it again, just go to our website at swrc.com. All of our programs are archived there. If you'd like to write us and send us your prayer requests or a Bible question, the address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And you can always call us at 1-800-652-1144. The operators will be happy to help you.
If you haven't already, you should have a look at our Southwest Radio Church Facebook page. If you like it, let us know by hitting the like button. We also have a YouTube channel. We have over 70 videos that are free to watch and enjoy on YouTube.
Thanks for tuning in today. Tune in tomorrow when Pastor Larry talks with James Yeager about Unsustainable on the Watchman on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Church.